DHZ, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
The what?
He knows what's pumping on the field.
Okay.
You say so.
He loves us.
Saints.
Saints.
B's and B-Boys.
That's us.
I love this book.
There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. And for the next 2 hours, from Ruston to Monroe, we ain't got time for 3 hours, man. I don't think they'd allocate that much time. We're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, I don't know when's the last time I can even recall seeing something like this. I feel like, I can't recall it, but I feel like it's happened to us a few times.
Oh, yeah.
But I do not recall a finish like this. Matter of fact, I want to point out something. These fans who wear the, you know, you got to have faith and believe like a badge of honor. Like every time that you down by 2 touchdowns with 5 minutes to go and you lose, because that's what normally happens.
Right, right.
And then, but nobody mentions that. But, I believed. Then when they finally win, the rest of us are a bunch of jerks, right?
Because, you see,
how
I
dare
you
not believe that they were going to win? Yeah. Well, you know, after about 50,000 of those games over the course of my life watching the NFL and the five that actually finished this way, I kind of get the point that, hey, this
kind of like when
be.
You walk out of the casino up money and until you realize you're down, you know, $1 million over your lifetime.
Right. Hit that, you know? Oh, yeah. Well, at the SEC, they have Keno, right? And so people, oh, man, I won $700, but it took you like $2,200 to win that $700. So, Tomas, the ending of that game, I mean, that was biblical, man. That, I mean, you just don't see things like that.
Yeah, you're my witness.
Okay. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? You're my witness. What I said we need to get from Ingram.
I
said we're going to have a 200-yard game today from Ingram. Didn't I say that?
I mean, you did say that, yes.
I did say that, right? Yeah. And at the end of the game.
But you say a lot of things. Let's just, I would like to clarify that. You say a lot of things.
Kind of like walking out of a casino when you, I already did that.
No, it's sort of like going to Keeneland and, you know, betting all the races and you finally win $10 and go, wow, I got a winner.
Yeah,
but you just bet $150 all day long.
Right, right.
Not to count the drinks or anything, but no, I just say to you, certainly, let me tell you what happened. So Dave and I are watching the game. The game finally ends in overtime. We're just fired up. We can't believe it, right? All right, we stay there for a little while, and then my wife and I leave. We get home. I'm like, we taped the game, didn't we? Yeah, let's watch it again. Okay. So we watch the game again. All right.
Did it get better the second time?
Yeah, but we're so wound up, right? It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like,
you still wound up.
Yep, you know, I had to get up at 5. It's 2,
yeah.
You know? And so my wife was like, oh, yeah, let's try to get some sleep. Okay, if I got an hour of sleep, it probably was a lot. Because I was so wound from that game.
I'm sitting at the SEC pub. You guys left, and I'm still sitting there with this. And, you know, the whole crowd that was there for the early games filed out. And it was literally me, excluding the staff, me and another guy sitting at the bar, and I'm just kind of sitting there watching the games. And I'm looking around for someone just to say, man, can you believe and couldn't get. I wore Twitter out, man. I'm just like, I need some high fives here. I feel like, I mean. I was just.
I know I saw it on there.
Like,
somebody sent you back a hand.
Yeah, we're just doing the hand thing and the little gifts where they do the. But I'm seriously sitting there so wound up and there's nobody for me to. I mean, if there'd have been anybody, if I didn't know him, hey man, how about that? You know, just wear them out. I was absolutely wound up. Incredible game.
Yep.
And there were people. Now, nobody will admit to it. How much does a dome hold? 80,000 people. 80, yeah. You know, there'll be
79,000.
Well, actually, it'll be about 250,000 people claim that they were there at that game all the way to the end of the league.
Sure. Yeah, you know, right. But
they say there was probably a good 20,000 people that were filing out.
Yeah.
You know, at that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, what did it say? They had a 0.4 per statistical some point or whatever.
What was it, ESPN?
Yeah,
okay,
I think so.
ESPN has a statistic where they point out what percentage at any point of the game. They can say at halftime you're up by three or down by three. Right. They'll say you have a, you know, 62.3% chance of winning. You know what I'm saying? At that point, with 5 minutes and about 58 seconds left, the Saints got the ball. And they had a 0.4% chance of winning the game.
And right before that, when Washington scored their last touchdown, Aikman, who's calling the game, says, well, they just put the dagger in the Saints' heart.
But, okay, I mean, you know, who would disagree with them? I don't think anybody.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, you look at that score at that point and the way that they've been playing, and people are thinking, well, this will be our first loss out of the last seven, so we're just, you know.
All I kept thinking was 28-3. 28-3. Yep. We might have a chance here. 28-3.
It always, but there was a little bit more than 6 minutes though with the 28-3.
Yeah, well, I know.
But you kept thinking. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
But you know,
okay,
here's the thing. Now people will stop talking about 7-9, right? Oh, they're 7-9 for three. But will they ever stop talking about 28-3?
No, that never stops.
There you go.
Well, first of all, Saints fans will never allow that to die. That will never die. I'm not saying it might be a little bit longer time in between each reminder, but there's at least two times a year that will be brought up and just drug across the lawn, hung up on
well,
your porch.
Well, this year three times.
Yeah. Why you say that?
Because they played New England once already, and they have to play the Saints twice.
Oh, so yeah, of course it's going to get reminded for New England. I tell you what, fellas, let's get this show started. So much to talk about.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Well, boys, though, I think we're going to have to bear some of the responsibility for this. You were here last Wednesday, weren't you, Heath?
Yeah.
Okay. I think maybe we can blame a little bit more on Heath because he distracted us.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about Don Bobo.
Don Bobo.
Don Bobo was angry. Yeah. Now, luckily, we have a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback that can overcome Don Bobo's anger.
Well, I think Don Bobo got all the way down to the end, and this is a warning.
I'm going to let you slide.
This is another warning. Next time.
Okay, so not people, y'all listening out there, Rustin Monroe on the internet via the podcast, all over the country, all over the world.
That's right.
Our Go PayPal Me account, you're going to have to start sending in the money. Matter of fact, you know, actually, Lil Dice said maybe it might be because of our account wasn't right, so he suggested we use a different pay system. It's called GoFundMy MasterPass PayPal Me. So we might have to give that one out. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah.
People, they can just click on it right away. But listen.
Go PayPal Me is kind of like MySpace now. You know,
That's old news. That's right.
But listen, for a limited time only, all right, we got a special for you. Operators are standing by. $29.99 today. Get you a Saints victory on Sunday, and we'll throw in a prayer for your family member at no additional cost.
There you go.
Now, if you act now, you can get a request for that promotion at work you've been asking for only $4.95 plus shipping and handling. You can't beat these prices. You cannot beat these prices. Don Bobo will make it happen for you. Because here's the thing. You don't want to go through the stress you went through on Sunday every day.
That
could lead to a heart condition. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
You know, like a brain aneurysm, all kind of stuff.
What kind of brain what?
Aneurysm.
Oh, you did pretty good.
Yeah, you like that? I mean, I can name off all kind of some emphysema.
Emphysema?
Or maybe there's other things. What else? We could get some, we can get an artificial, never mind. I was flying too close to the sun on that one. Yes, interstitial artery. Anyway, listen, get your money in. You don't want to go through this anymore. I mean, this kind of stress is not good for your health. Don Bobo can make things happen for you, good things in your life. Listen, we got John Hendricks coming a little bit later. Don't forget, we're going to do an NFL schedule kind of recap for all the teams we're competing with for that last playoff spot. Anyway, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We're just getting started. Y'all don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, baby. We still haven't come up with that that name. Like if we did the show on Tuesday, it could be like Motown Tuesday. Anyway, hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen, man, that game, unbelievable, crazy finish to a game. Listen, that one was all but lost.
Yeah,
we found a way to win. You know, it's like a bonus win that we have. Now, in the process, we lost a couple of players. Some for the one for the entire season.
Yeah.
One, we're not sure how long it's going to be, but Lattimore, Marshawn Lattimore, a huge loss.
Yeah.
And you can tell it immediately. Our defense was not the same defense as soon as he exited the field. Now,
right.
Having said that, we also had other guys who were missing. And so it wasn't just the loss of Lattimore, which I think was the biggest loss, and it was huge. Having said that, because we didn't have Vaccaro in the game, we had to have other guys playing. So we were already thin. We were already light. Then you take the fact that A.J. Klein wasn't playing. So now all of a sudden you're bringing in safeties. You short by not having Vaccaro. Then all of a sudden you get in different corners. And when Lattimore goes out the game, then that's when I want to say the wheels fell off the wagon. But, yeah, you might be able to make the argument that they held it together just good enough. Is that fair to say?
I would say so. You know, again, I read a lot of tweets and comments from people about Devontae Harris. Well, I've watched the game now a couple of times, and I didn't feel that Devontae Harris played that bad. Now, just as Dave and I said when we were watching at the SEC, we said that he kind of looks like Crawley from last year. He was in the right place. He just couldn't finish the play. So I don't know it would have been that much of a difference with anybody else playing the game from that perspective. Now, certainly, as we said, without Lattimore, now the Washington offense had the entire field to play with.
Right.
They no longer only had to concentrate on two-thirds of the field. So that opened it up a little bit more for them. But again, when I looked at the game again, I just didn't see all that much other than really, it was just sort of lackadaisical play. It wasn't that it was, you know, a big, huge miss here or there. It was just lackadaisical play.
You know, we were talking about this, is that before the game, you know, I'm talking about during the week before the game, we were like, oh, man, I hope we don't have a letdown.
Right.
And, you know, and what's lost in this is maybe we were having a letdown, and that's why they were playing. And it's just speculation. Maybe they weren't playing as well as they normally do because of more of the letdown factor than it was because of the loss of Lattimore. Now, again, speculation. But if the Saints, if that was their letdown game, then maybe we overcame it. Maybe they were looking forward to the Rams game this coming weekend.
Yeah, you know, and you have that mental effect when you lose a guy like Lattimore in the game, and you kind of go into scramble mode. But I'm with you. I really think, you know, Washington was moving the ball a little bit even before Lattimore went out.
Yep.
And the other thing was, and the commentators touched on this a few times, you know, Washington's a desperate team. Washington's back was against
They went for it on fourth down twice, and one time inside their own 20.
Absolutely. I mean, so they were pulling out all the stops, and that had an effect on it as well.
Absolutely. Because basically that was an elimination game for Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, with the way that the Eagles are playing, you're not going to get anybody. They caught me. You're not going to get anybody from the NFC East making a wild card spot. So, for the most part, the Eagles, what, lost one game so far? 9-1?
Yeah.
Is that right? 9-1?
9-1.
And look good doing it.
Yeah, and with Redskins around .500, I mean, you have a lot of ground to make up. You can't lose another game. You're not going to make the wild card.
They won't make it up.
There's a really good chance the two wild cards could come from the NFC South.
Yeah.
So they basically, it was an elimination game for them. So they played that way. And, you know, a combination of some injuries, the fact that the Redskins were playing desperate, and also maybe a little bit of looking forward to the Rams game this coming week could have attributed to why these guys were playing so poorly early on. But having said that, corrected some stuff as the game went on. When we needed a stop, we got it.
Yeah.
You got it. So, I mean, you know.
Well, there are a couple of things, like you said, the desperation mode, certainly, like Heath said. But this also is the best quarterback they faced, really.
By far. You know, since
Tom Brady.
Since Tom Brady.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know? So you have a quarterback who can actually read defenses, can scramble out and make plays on the move. You know, so suddenly it's a whole different setup as far as our defense. And then again, no Klein, no Vaccaro, then you lose Lattimore. Now, I'm not going to cry about spilt milk. I think we did as good as we could do with what we had. And I think if we had the same defensive structure for this next game, I think we'll do better because we'll have a whole week to plan a better defensive game plan with whoever we have playing.
Right.
You know, I set aside our fourth segment. So at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the injuries and how they affect us going forward. And we can spend some time. This stuff is getting – we have been a pretty fortunate team so far injury-wise.
Yeah,
now,
for
all of a sudden,
a change, yeah.
Yeah, now all of a sudden we start to see –
I wouldn't say that. I would say we are in a better position to withstand injury.
No doubt.
Offensive line, how we've had to flip them around the entire beginning of the season.
We've been fortunate, I feel like. The positions we were hit hardest was offensive line,
Which we had good depth. Yeah.
Defensive tackle losing fairly.
Yeah.
We had good depth.
Yeah.
Now you can make the argument with Okafor. Now, listen, nobody behind him is as good a player as he's been so far this year.
Right.
But we do have depth. We have competent players in Kikaha and Hendrickson that can step in for him.
Yeah.
Now, we're already getting ahead of ourselves. We have a whole segment to talk about this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, okay. Right.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, listen, we've gotten away. Like last week, there was so little bad and ugly that I compromised. I said, you know, maybe point out something that wasn't completely obvious. Maybe something that, you know, people aren't really paying that much attention to. This week, a lot of good, a lot of ugly or bad to talk about. Although I think Tomas said there was no bad. That the homer's oozing out of him. Did you say that?
I think he said he struggled for an ugly.
Struggled. Okay. Well, if you need some help with ugly, I can help. I can point some out to you right here. Heath, go ahead and give me your good.
Okay. So, my good is kind of, the resilience and the persistence and the perseverance of his team to come back. Like I said, before that, to me, there was plenty of bad and ugly. But, man, I mean, to be able to hang in there and come back the way they did, I even at one point thought the team had given up, It kind of looked like it. It looked like it was done. It looked like the team was kind of done at that point. Come back out and pull that off, man. That was, biggest thing since what was the River City Relay,
I guess. Well, and you know what? I think that might be one of the closest analogies, even though that game,
Well, it was a different, but I mean.
But still, like a game
as far
where
as
you
excitement at the end of the
expected
game,
to lose.
Right.
And won. Tomas?
Well, I didn't see anything good. There was just nothing good for me. No. I think the good is this. And although we'd fallen way behind, I still think that we have a 1-2 punch at running back that will cause every team out there a problem.
Fits. They'll get fits.
Exactly. At any time, they can dial it up, and all of a sudden, you've got two running backs with each over 100 yards in a game. And at the pace that they're going, speculation is they could get as much as 3,000 yards combined this year. Yeah.
From scrimmage.
In large part, too, as well, from the offensive line.
But I'm going to go with, because I thought the offensive line didn't do well, but I'm going to go with the fact that my good is going to be the outstanding work, no matter how far we got behind, no matter how tough it was, done by our two running backs, number 22 and number 41. There you go. That's my good.
I feel you. Personally, the thing that I, and this is something I've been harping on, and now Breeze has kind of proved it. I've heard people, not so much in the last couple of weeks or so, but fans talking about what happened to our offense. How come our offense isn't scoring? How come they're not doing this? And how come they're not? And I point out this, they don't need to.
Yeah.
The defense is playing well. You're playing more conservative. Breeze is a smart quarterback. Peyton has to understand this. When you're running the ball as well as they're doing, don't put the ball in jeopardy. You know, don't, there's no need to go and throw that seam pass that we've seen Breeze complete 1,000 times. But there's opportunities there for turnovers or interceptions, all those different things. Now, all of a sudden, when we needed Breeze, not only did he come up big, he came up. I mean, he came up. There's, I don't know if there's a word for it yet.
Yeah.
I mean,
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
That's how he came up.
11 for 11 passing for, I can't remember, 130-some-odd yards on those two drives at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The ball didn't touch the ground.
Yeah.
And when you needed it to, all of a sudden, the idea that, oh, well, you know, he's just kind of back there running things, you know, and not, no, he still has it.
Right.
He still got it.
Right.
And he proves that when he needs it, it's there. Which, I got to tell you, there's a part of the game that made me feel lose a little confidence because I'm like, man, you know, the defense wasn't playing dominant. What happens when we get up against a team like that? Maybe their defense is bad. But having said that, there's also some growth in confidence, at least from my perspective, when you know that you can run the ball like a beast, and if you need to pass it, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
Absolutely can.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, and I think that, hold on, before you go on,
okay.
I think that Breeze just showed something as well, in that when he has to really buckle down and concentrate, he becomes that Hall of Famer. I think that he himself has sort of laid himself back because, hey, we got a running game now. You know,
right.
I'm just going to. So I don't think his accuracy has been that good. You know, we've been talking about, you know,
I agree
he
with
doesn't
you.
Have exactly, you know, what's wrong with Drew? He doesn't have that thing. I think it's just that he got too laid back.
I would consider a rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have
exactly,
a shooter and you go the whole game and you don't get a lot of shots, well, then you get the ball, all of a sudden it's the fourth quarter, and the second half, and you go and you shoot the ball and you miss because – you just haven't really found your rhythm.
Right.
And I see that at times, too, when you run the ball. Now, all of a sudden, you've been really effective. You move the ball down the field. Now it's 3rd and 6, and it's incomplete, and you're just like, you know, why can't Breeze just make it automatic?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you just don't have the rhythm because you've been
handing
the ball.
But you saw it, 11 for 11.
When they just said, hey, look, we got to throw the ball.
That's right. Click, even click, on that click. One where it looked like he threw the interception, but they had him face mask.
Yes.
Had he not turned around with the face mask, he would have caught the ball. It would have been 12 for 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
So,
and when you drew Breeze, you've spent the last decade throwing for or flirting with 5,000 yards, and all of a sudden you become a running team. You're going to get out of your rhythm. Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
You're going to get a little rusty sitting back there when you used to play in one way, you know. So, yeah.
I agree with you. Anyway. All right. So, I tell you what. Let's quickly move on to a bad. You ready, Heath?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it.
Everything before the comeback.
A lot of stuff before the comeback.
Yeah. And now, so, I mean, really, for this week, for me, it was the offensive line. We got really used to the offensive line playing really well this year, no matter how much they were juggled around and whatnot. This week, Ramczyk had a really tough week.
Yeah, it was, yes.
Even Armstead had a tough week. I agree with Tomas when I said earlier about the offensive line. I meant more for season-wide, you know, the performance across the board from the offensive line this week just wasn't what we've been accustomed to this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomas?
Well, I think that, you know, I was very positive for the last few games and that when we were behind or ahead or whatever it was, where it looked kind of tough, we went in at halftime and we made some good adjustments. So my bad is going to be, and it's not much of a bad, it's just a little bad. I didn't see that this time. I didn't see us come back with any kind of different vim and vigor. I didn't see us come back with any kind of difference. Now, granted, they tried to put Lattimore back in there in the very first play, and it didn't work out. But I would have thought that they would have gone into the halftime. I would have thought that Dennis Allen would have said, okay, look, Lattimore's not coming back. What do we have to do to address this? How, you know, what kind of plays can we call? Do we need to do more? A Tampa 2? Do we need to, you know? Now, I don't know that we're that kind of a team, truthfully, because they put in Devontae Harris. He was playing man-on-man. I mean, they were up on the line bumping and grinding. So he was playing the same way as if Lattimore was in there. So that's why I would say my bad would be, and it's just a little bad, is just that I didn't see any adjustments. Maybe they just didn't think they needed to make any adjustments. But we were behind, and I would think you need to make an adjustment. So that would be my bad.
Okay, so my bad is, and I'm going to explain this because it's a pet peeve of mine when people say play calling. But I've heard some people complain that we got away from the running game too quick, and that's just simply not true. It's not the case. If you go to the and watch penalties, that end around reverse that they tried to run, and you're losing yardage the whole first half. It was either a penalty. We run the ball effectively, then a penalty, or trying some cute little play, and we end up behind the chains, second and 12. So
or 19.
Or second, and, on the
I think he lost 13 on that.
Yeah, and again, you putting yourself, so we had to get away from the running game. And it was something that I'm just like, okay, just pound the rock, man. It's effective, and we're doing well. There's no reason in the world why you should start trying these cutesy little plays. And I get it. In the past, people don't like it, but sometimes you have to show them a little something. You try, you see something on film, you try a reverse, the guys are being too aggressive. Even if it's not to make a big play, it's to make sure that backside defensive end or outside linebacker stays home.
Right.
All these things are planned out. I just didn't feel like on Sunday it was necessary. I mean, we I don't want to say gashing, but we're already early in the game when the defense is still fresh. We're still getting 5-7 yards. And then we start getting behind the chains with these little penalties and these just silly little play calls. It's just unnecessary. I think that they clean that up, that offensive line, man, in the run game. Fantastic. Hey, listen, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We'll be back with John Hendricks here shortly. Don't go away.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero, and on the line, the graffiti hotline, like usual, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, welcome, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself? Getting ready for some turkey, that's for sure.
Yeah, Turkey Day coming up real quick tomorrow. I don't know if I have everything ready. I kind of wing it, John. I'm not a big preparation guy. Just tomorrow I'm going to be that guy. The reason they keep the grocery store open on Thursday is a guy like me runs in there and gets everything I need, like, right before.
Nothing wrong with that. That's why they're open, right?
Yeah, I guess that's why they pay those guys the big bucks. Listen, I have not seen anything like what I saw Sunday. New Orleans comes back and beats the Redskins down by 15 points with slightly less than 6 minutes to go. Tell me, do you recall ever seeing something? What's your recollection of something similar to that?
Man, you know, I know the 2009 game against the Redskins was kind of special in its own. But look, I don't know if I've seen that crazy of a finish. I mean, you might make an argument for 2014 when the Saints came back against the Bucks at home, but, you know, I still, off the top of my head, maybe the River City Relay might be the craziest thing I've seen where it comes back and finishes. And obviously, that didn't work out,
right.
But just for the Saints to be able to be in a spot to come back and be able to win this game, I just can't tell you from me seeing that at all.
No, I mean, I can't, honestly. Now, I've never been known for my great recall of things that's happened in the past. I just can't recall anything where I feel like it's happened to us before, but I can't recall where we were in a position where we were down by that much with such little time. And the thing about it, John, is everything had to go perfectly. I mean, you're talking about from the third down stop on third and one when we stopped the Redskins. You're talking about an interception that got called back because of hands to the face, or was it a face mask? But either way, everything had to go perfect, John, and it did.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, once it became 31-16, you know, a lot of fans fled for the exits. And, I mean, I guess in some aspects I understand that. But, you know, I think for me, sitting up in the press box and just thinking to myself, I was like, man, this would be just such an awesome thing to see Drew Brees be able to at least make this a game. I hadn't seen that in a while. And lo and behold, they get it started. You know, I think that first drive was crucial. You know, here's Kobe Fleener, hadn't had a single catch or target all day. Gets his first one at 5:58 left in the game, ends up being 5 for 91 for the entire rest of the way, and you know, he got it started. The Redskins went in a real soft prevent defense, let a lot of stuff go underneath, and the Saints and Drew Brees took advantage. You know, 11 for 11 over those last two regulation drives, and two touchdowns of 186 yards. I mean, that was Drew Brees and why he's still an elite quarterback in this league, and furthermore, why anybody that ever would say this guy's not a top five quarterback of all time, he just proved to you why he was. Absolutely. And is.
Absolutely. You know, John, one of the things I've been saying, you know, for I'd say over the course of the seven game or now eight game winning streak, is that Drew Brees can still do it. The Saints can still do it. Because I read things, I see fans, and they say, well, the Saints' offense, there's something missing. It's not there. And I simply say we have a good defense now. It hasn't been necessary. Now we were in a position where it was necessary to say, Drew, it's all on you. And he did it. Which tells me, going forward, you know, injuries aside, and I think that's a conversation we'll have here in a minute, but now you have – it's been proven to me that if we need to throw the ball all game long, Drew Brees is still capable, but we can still run the ball with authority.
Right. Well, look, and we talked about this last week, is that I think that's what makes this offense so special, is the fact that you can throw in seven guys and stack the box and try to shut down the run game. And, you know, Drew Brees didn't have a strong start to the game. I think at one point he was 11 for 22, missed on a couple. You know, he was under a lot of pressure and such. But, you know, honestly – you know, with him being able to find targets and to be able to do that, and, you know, even with that, Mark Ingram having such success on the ground, I mean, what, 11 carries, 130-plus yards, and Alvin Kamara doing his thing and on the ground and receiving and such, I mean, that's where it's scary for the Saints team. And we've always talked about they just need a competent defense, not a top 10, not a top 15, just a competent defense and make the plays when they need to. And, you know, look, we've been getting a strong, stellar defense thus far. Again, you know, Sunday was kind of opportunistic with having Klein, Vaccaro, and then Lattimore go down. But, look, give them some credit. They hung in there. They were able to overcome some really bad defense and ultimately stepping up when they needed to, and they ended up winning because of it.
I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles on our graffiti hotline. John, some of the negatives from the game, and I'm not really directing it towards the play, but we had some injuries, and they were significant injuries. One, I don't know where we would even rank them, because we could start arguing, and that Lattimore, I think I'm not giving enough credit if I say top five player on the entire team. He goes down with an injury, ankle. It doesn't look like it's going to be something that'll put him out for the season. But listen, he came back in the game in the second half and gave it a try, and I have to believe that, you know, he got an injection, gave it a try, and he still couldn't go. And you would imagine that, based on my experience, that ankle probably swole up over Sunday night, and I'm wondering what it's going to be like for him going forward for the last six games of the season.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't expect him to play on Sunday, and that's just a kind of a gut feeling, right? And I think that's the reason why they signed Sterling Moore, because, you know, you ran P.J. Williams on the outside, Devontae Harris in the slot. Devontae Harris had one of his worst games. I mean, it was pretty bad. And, look, I'm a firm believer that there's no pressure to throw Lattimore out there right this second, especially with some of the injuries to the Rams, right? And I would expect Moore to start opposite of Crawley. And then hopefully get Kenny Vaccaro back, put him in the slot, and PJ's a backup, maybe use him in the slot sometimes, and then, you know, keep Harris on special teams. But, you know, that was probably a huge – I got to give him props, because he tried to gut it out. I mean, he was working on the sidelines, trying to get back into it, and he wanted to come back in. But, you know, the good news is after game and stuff, he seemed fine. You know, obviously – we don't know the full extent of it, but, you know, it was encouraging at least to see him in the locker room. And I think the bigger loss, and we'll probably talk about in a second, is Alex Okafor on the defensive end side.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to that, let me ask you real quick. You were in the locker room. Was he walking around? Did they go right to the boot? What did you observe after the game?
It's crazy because even on the sidelines and stuff, nothing there. But after the game, I know I saw him in a walking boot, so – and it's kind of similar, you know, I guess you got the team pictures from the other week with A.J. Klein. He was in a walking boot, so it doesn't necessarily mean the worst thing for him. Maybe more precautionary than anything, but, you know, look, we'll see what happens. But, you know, hopefully it's more what Klein had to deal with.
Okay. Now, moving on, you mentioned Alex Okafor. Now, this was a much more serious injury. It looks like it was his Achilles, and it looks like he's done for the season. And this guy was a person that was, to me at least, a kind of an afterthought. He's had a hard time his entire career staying healthy. Nothing major, but just always nagging injuries. He was playing so well, and he was, I believe he's a really big part of the turnaround on the defense, and now he's gone for the season.
Yeah, rough injury to see, and I know when I was looking at it and watching the replay, it didn't look good, and you know, it screamed Achilles, you know, injury, just the way it came off and the way he landed. And look, Okafor, it's not only just the pass rushing, it's the run defense, obviously, is the big thing here. You know, they're going to probably approach it now by a committee with Trey Hendrickson being the starting presence, Kaha, and then Al-Kadeem Muhammad. The thing is, if I'm the Rams and I'm Todd Gurley and Jared Goff and Sean McVay, that's the side I'm going to test. And that's where, for the Saints, it's going to be imperative that they can get somebody like Vaccaro up there to hover around the line of scrimmage or get an A.J. Klein back to help stuff up the run. But huge loss in Okafor. I wouldn't be surprised if they start working out some more defensive ends and see what's out there. I know a guy like Kasim Edebale was kind of hovering around there. Didn't really work out in Denver, but you just never know what's going to end up happening. You know, you wish that Darrell Tapp was still out there. He's been hovering around the team, but he's not. And you know, they'll just have to do next man up mentality like they've been all year.
Yeah, with I believe we're kind of fortunate because a lot of the injuries that we've had, for instance, Teron Armstead missed a few games, but we had depth at that position. Pete's capable of sliding out. Then we also have Ramchek on the right side who can play the left. I think we've been fortunate, and with the injury to Alex Okafor, while they're not the same player he is, there is depth there. And you mentioned Kakaha, you mentioned Hendrickson, who has been playing quite a bit, and I think now we'll find out. They say, and I've heard this said by a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for, you know, after about 10 games, they're not rookies anymore. They have everything down. They should be able to compete at a level that, you know, obviously not a seasoned veteran, but not a rookie out there running around and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, and look, I it's not that I don't believe in Hendrickson at all, so hopefully – everybody doesn't understand, you know, take that, because obviously the third round pick, you know, you got to have a little bit more invested in them. I feel like with the way the Redskins were able to carve up the Saints defense with a rookie running back, you know, it just the fact that Todd Gurley's coming and he's you know, was top five back in this league easily. And the fact that the Rams are going to have to rely more on that ground game. Look, I feel that we're going to get some quick answers on whether or not Trey Hendrickson is ready to hold down a full-time job now with Okafor out.
Absolutely. John, one of the Rams receivers, Robert Woods, went down with a shoulder injury. He was leading the team in receptions. He's probably their go-to guy. What effect do you think, if any, that will have on the Rams' offense?
I think it's going to be big. Robert Woods has been a real emergent target for Jared Goff. But, you know, look, they still have Sammy Watkins there, Cooper Kupp. He's had some opportunities, you know, securing some catches and such. But if you're Jared Goff, you got to feel good about, you know, the possibility of not having to face Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, Kirk Cousins tried to target Ken Crawley deep. Crawley had a pretty good game, but overall, we'll really see what this team's going to be on the road this week. It's going to be an interesting challenge.
John, thank you for coming in this week and talking to us. Hey, it's Dave Romero, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Dance party. Yeah. I'm shake it this way. Let me shake it this way. Played like some dogs out there. Hey, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, Rustin and Monroe. Listen, man.
The blowtorch.
Don Bobo. We talked about Don Bobo. Send your money in. We gave you all kind of ways to get in touch with us to send those funds in. Pay for the chicken because we have to sacrifice. Don Bobo was not happy. And it was obvious. All you had to do was look. Everything was going against us. Luckily, we not only we have Drew Brees to overcome Don Bobo's anger, but I think
I'm going to make a special offer.
We've been treating Don Bobo good. I'm talking about 21 wings.
Different sauces. I'm going to go with some spicy wings this week.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to throw in two turkey wings.
We had
Thanksgiving.
That's right.
You know, so I'm going to cook up two special turkey wings. I'm going to inject them,
so they'd be all plump and juicy and ready to go. So, about,
I know those breasts. What about the breasts? You gonna
those breasts are
inject
special.
Them there?
Oh,
and
they're already plump. All you right. just have
plump
to
and rub some,
a little bit.
Rub some of that.
Oh, I'm telling you,
that oil on them.
Special,
yeah. All right, oil. And Dombo enjoys that too. Well, that DBB.
Dombo.
As a matter of fact, did he? I thought he cracked a smile there for
there
a second. Hold up, now. Okay. All right. So we talked about some injuries that we had, and I thought that it might be a good idea to spend a little time talking about not only the injuries, but how it affected our defense and how it's going to affect us going forward.
Whoa!
Yoda.
Oh! Unhealthy you are. Hey, hold up. Sheriff Cooter's going to talk to us for a second here.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barber Shop, Laundromat Department. Wow. Now time for the New Orleans Saints Injury Report.
Oh. All right. Okafor, done for the season.
Done for the season.
Injury.
Yep.
Lattimore, it is my opinion that, you know, he got injured. Run around on the sideline trying to get, and obviously it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Going to halftime, I don't know what anybody in the world would think happened at halftime to make him now think that he's going to, unless they have another bicycle in there. So they gave him the needle, and he gave it a try. Walking out there, he can't even feel his foot, and it didn't work. Yeah. So I think that Lattimore, I don't think he'll play this weekend. Matter of fact, we need to talk about, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but when should we bring him back? Are we willing to take the chance that we could lose a game if it means that we hold him out and bring him back later? Is it worth it to make sure he's 100%?
Yeah. I think they, you know, obviously they're going to try to play him if at all possible.
Sure.
And we got the Rams coming up. We're in a battle here for a potential bye. You know, a lot on the line right now. But, yes, if there's really any chance that this is going to turn into a prolonged nagging type of thing, if he tries to come back and re-injure it, then they need to sit him down. We have some competition. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so you agree that if by playing him he may only be 80% the rest of the season,
yeah,
that it's best to potentially lose a game and bring him back.
Yeah, no, see, keep him out right now. Yeah, absolutely.
And bring him back 100%.
100%,
and
yeah.
See, I agree with that. Tomas, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't have a medical degree from, you know, any university that issues medical degrees, and I don't work at Ochsner.
Yeah.
Right.
Which means I might actually know what the hell I'm talking
about.
Right,
yeah, you might have a little bit of advantage.
So I'm going to say this. First of all, I am happy because since I saw him walking around even before he got the big needle, he was walking around. Didn't look that bad. I don't think it was a high ankle sprain. Because I think if it was a high ankle sprain, he wouldn't have been able to walk around. It wouldn't have made any difference about the shot. So that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned, because I think that they can rehab it much quicker and much better. Now, having said that, we have the Rams next. I'm willing to sacrifice for Dombobo the Rams game.
Okay.
Because after that, what do we have? We have the Panthers. Mm-hmm. We have the Falcons. We have two games that are conference games, much more important. So I believe if we sit Lattimore down, I expect us to have a good enough game plan to sort of fix that up. I believe Vaccaro will be back. So that'll give us strength at safety. And so linebacker safety, and then we play. I just think that we can survive.
Okay, so.
And even win the game against the Rams if we don't have Lattimore.
But what you're saying, and again, this is all based on the assumption that it was a pretty bad ankle sprain and that he might miss, let's say, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So with
put
that
the
assumption.
Put the boot on for the next 2 weeks.
And shut it down, make sure he's 100%.
Right. Till the Thursday before the Panthers
now,
game.
Now, with Robert Woods, the Rams' best receiver, their biggest playmaker, their go-to guy, he's going to be out.
Yeah. Right.
So I think now you've even helped yourself with the matchups a little bit. So now you can afford, not to mention if he comes back, even if it's not as bad. Look, you twist your ankle playing basketball, he's not going to be 100%. He won't have the lateral movement. He won't be the same player. So I feel like it's just sit them down, man.
Yep.
Put the boot on them. Let them come back. Let's get the run, especially Atlanta. Especially playing Atlanta. Yeah. Listen, we all hate Atlanta. I get it. They can throw the ball, and they are going to be a threat.
Well, they have three receivers who can run.
Yeah.
You know, Gabriel, Sanu, and Jones. All three of those guys can run. So you need to have as much as you can have in your DB. Yeah. So to me, I sit them down. I might even be willing to sit them down for the Panthers game.
Yeah. And then the other thing, look, we got P.J. Williams. P.J. Williams is a good player. And you're going to go into this game. Look,
sorry, sorry.
Where he at?
If he's getting the reps all week long,
yes.
And he's expecting to go in and play, this is not a situation where, look, the Saints are reading the press clippings and all, too. They know how good Lattimore's been. They've been hearing all of the Marsh and all this different stuff. And when a guy like that goes out during a game, I can guarantee you the team went, oh, man, you know.
Oh, sure.
Shit,
the balloon.
We just,
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so it affects the team mentally.
Right, it's a mental effect. And then so you head into next week. If they know he's not going to play or there's a good chance he's not going to play, you got Williams and other guys taking more reps during practice and mentally preparing to start this game. With the loss of Woods, you know, helps you out a little bit. I agree with you. Right. This is not a – that doesn't mean instant loss by any stretch in my mind.
And you know what? Quite frankly, here's the biggest key to the Rams game that in doing some research. They ranked 28th against the run. I mean, can you imagine how bad we're going to smash them in the run game?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean everything because, you know, a couple of penalties in the round that goes awry, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, Mark Ingram has 11 rushes. You know, hopefully it's for 130-some-odd yards.
Yeah.
But the point is it doesn't always work the way you hope it to, and that's why they play the game.
Right.
If you go into this looking at their run defense, and also I'm tweeting with Miles Simmons. He's the team insider for the Rams, and he's talking about both of their cornerbacks. One of them is in the is day-to-day, and the other is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at not only are they weak against the run, they got two cornerbacks that may not play in the game.
Yeah.
So I would think that you would have an advantage to be able to run the ball and then obviously pass. I mean, I don't think the Rams are going to be as big of a challenge. I mean, I'm stepping out on a limb right now. It's a little early looking at all this. Their defensive backfield's banged up, and they can't stop the run. I think it's a bad matchup for them. I think we have good matchups going into the game.
Well, I hope that our players have had a little reality check and realize, hey, we got to stop listening to what everybody else is saying around us. Coach has been telling us not to pay attention to that stuff. I hope they look at the game film and realize that they got their behinds whipped on the offensive line and that they make some adjustments so they can get, you know, better with this game.
Yeah. How the offensive line plays against the Rams and how the Saints deal with Gurley and the Rams running game is going to be as important as anything in this game.
Yep.
Absolutely. Gurley is going to be a handful. I have him on my fantasy team. And just, I mean, I know that's silly, but at the end of the day, you see the results, touchdown, 100. So I follow his statistics closely. He's going to be a handful. And with the loss of Okafor, you know, seeing how the Saints handle that is going to be a big question because it could turn into a shootout, but I am not worried about them shutting us down. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk. Don't go anywhere. Hour two, right around the corner. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.